Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're on program 316. And have your paper and pencil ready because you may want a copy of this message. I believe that you should have a copy of it because I know a lot of people say they listen to it. And sometimes I'm talking so fast and telling them so many golden nuggets from the Bible and revelations that the Lord has given me that they have to listen to the tape 5, 6, 7 times and sometimes more than that. They like to refer back to it on weeks, days, weeks, or months later because it is from the Lord. Sharon will tell you 4 different ways on how to receive a copy of it at the end of the program. So we have some songs. We have a strong message, and I think we're going to be hearing God. I didn't know why God wanted me to read some of the things from Hitler's speeches. It never occurred to me to listen to his speeches or want to hear anything that he said, but the Lord told me to listen to what he said, and I did. And a lot of the things that he was saying was wrong, but the things about the United Nations that he stated were absolutely true. The problem was that he thought that the beginning of the United Nations was the Jews, but it wasn't. It was Cardinal Spellman from the Vatican that was there with some of the leaders of nations to open up the United Nations Charter. So we have that and a strong message from the Lord and some testimonies. I'm praying as to whether we should read. I will read a few of them. And so right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint this service. Father, anoint this service. We thank and praise your holy name. You're a wonderful God, Father. You are a wonderful, holy, eternal God. You are our Father, the Father of lights, the Father of that which is right. You are the Spirit. Jesus, you are the Spirit. Father, you are the Spirit. Spirit, you are the Holy Spirit, of course. We ask that you totally anoint this program, that souls in the world will be able to see the treachery, where the treachery in this world is coming from, so that people in this world will know who they're following, because if I don't tell them, it doesn't seem like anybody else will. And that's how the whole world is deceived, is so many people are afraid to make war with the beast. Your word, Father, says, who could make war with the beast? Well, of course you can. And those of us that have been born into this world in the flesh, we later became your spirit mingled with ours. We became the continuation of your incarnation on earth. You're still living in human flesh. That's what those of you that don't know what incarnation means, is it's God living in human flesh. And this is why the devil on the earth, who is in exact opposition to the Lord, hates those that are of the Holy Spirit. They don't like those of us that are with the Spirit of God, the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily living in us. They do not like the incarnation of Christ any more than they loved the incarnation of him when he was here on earth in his original body. And now we are members of his body and the powers of this world, which is powered by that great red dragon, the devil. They do not like us. The powers of that great red dragon are found, the Bible says, seated in Rome, Italy, the city of the 7 mountains. And his government that he controls is the United Nations. That's made plain. It's a one world government, and that's what this government is. Is it blames countries for things that they're not guilty of, so that we'll go in for the Vatican and conquer those nations so that every country will be members of the UN and that they'll be placed in order because the Vatican believes that, or they don't really believe it, but they say that there will be peace when everybody belongs to the Vatican. And therefore, all other religions must go unless they unite themselves with the Vatican. And the Bible says those that unite themselves with the Vatican are the same as blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and that there's no forgiveness for that in this world or in the world to come. And that's why true born of the Spirit Christians that fear the Word of God will not join them, is because we don't want, and we will not, will never blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Now, some people make that vow, and they will blaspheme the Holy Spirit when their life is threatened. Jesus never did. He knew that he was going to be crucified. He knew that he was going to be beaten to a pulp. There's no cross or crucifix that I've ever seen with his supposed-to-be body on it that has ever depicted the reality of that which happened to him. He was beaten to a pulp, to where people could not recognize him as a human being. It could have been an animal or something that was on the cross, maybe a bear or something, because a bear, when it's hung up in the woods, I don't know if any of you have ever lived in the woods like I have in Montana, but the bear, when it's skinned, it looks like a human being from a distance. And it looks very bloody. That's the way Jesus even looked worse than that. But, Father, we know that we're in a war. There's a lot of Christians that don't want to be in war. They want peace by allowing lawlessness. But there'll be no peace from you. There'll be sudden destruction. Those that say peace, peace, are liars, because they're at war with Christianity and at war with you, Father. The Bible says that Satan has declared war, and his troops have declared war on God. And you have recruited us to defend the gospel, to resist Satan so that he'll flee from us. So therefore, Father, we know that we must be involved in the war of resistance, and if we're not, we are members, not of you, because you're those that keep your word. Only those that keep your commandments are with you, and those that are not with you are against you. And if they're against you, then they're the Antichrist. And if they're the Antichrist, they blaspheme the Holy Spirit. We're at war. And if they blaspheme the Holy Spirit by not being involved in the war, if they don't have no concern about the things that Satan is doing in this world to the innocent citizens of the world, some preachers say they're just for the United States. The Lord called me to be concerned about the entire world, the people of the world. If they're not concerned about the souls of the people of the world, then they're not Christians. Because you told us to go into every nation, and you told us to every language, we're supposed to get the word of God to them. This is your last commandment. And if we love you, three times you told Peter, then feed my sheep, feed my flock, feed my lambs. And so those that don't do that are not, they don't love you. And if they don't love you, then you don't love them. Mercy begets mercy, Father. So we ask that you destroy the works of Satan, because that's what you called us to do. You came here and you did destroy the works of Satan, but you're depending on us now, your spirit living in us, to do your will, and that your will is to do what you did, and you resisted Satan. You gave no place to the devil. Therefore, Lord, we ask that you stop him everywhere. There are people that are saying that I'm beating children. You know, Father, that I'm not doing that at all. They're saying that I am marrying people that are underage, and that to men that are 30, 40, and 50 years old, and I'm not doing that. Not at all. I never have, and I never will. And they're saying that I'm raping people. I have never raped anybody in my life, ever. I've never had to rape anybody in my life. I've always, quite the contrary. I never had any sexual relationships until way late in my life. And so therefore, Lord, this is the devil trying to get people to disbelieve of what I'm saying and doing. These are just dirty lies. I'm telling the truth about the Vatican, the world government, and the media. And so what else can they do but throw false accusations at me, slurs, character assassination, every kind of thing that they can. And the people of the world that are deceived by the media, the world government, and the Roman Empire, and the devil, which rules all these, they like to believe smut about people that are proclaiming to be from you. Lord, I ask that you destroy the workers of iniquity. If they won't be saved, Lord, there's no point in keeping them. It's like the tree that bore no fruit. You dried it up because it doesn't do any good for you to keep that kind of a person, a tree, around. So I ask that you do these things to save the souls out in the world, and that you strengthen the people that are born-again Christians, that you strengthen the church of God, the actual real, true body of Christ, Lord God, that souls will be saved and the church strengthened in the mighty name of the Almighty God, in the name of the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who created all things for himself and by himself. In Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
And I guess most of you folks can receive that I'm in Los Angeles, because you can hear the sirens going by our place here. And also the airplanes going overhead and so on and so forth. Porter Wagoner and I sang a Dolly Parton song. She wrote it for me, and I recorded it at Porter Wagoner's studio. And the name of it is "Lord, Hold My Hand." You know, we're going through all these trials and tribulations. We need the Lord to hold our hand, don't we?
Amen.
Amen, because people are so weak. If you don't get the message every day, you'll fall every day. We need the Spirit every day in order to stay upright in the Lord. Okay, here is myself, or Porter Wagoner and myself, with the Dolly Parton song, "Lord, Hold My Hand."
Straight. Let the deeds I do be kind. Let me never hesitate to help my brother walking blind. Hold my hand lest I lose my way. Hold my hand and lead me home. Guide each step that I might take. Hold my And let my words have meaning, Lord. Anything that I might speak, if you see me leaning, Lord, just hold my hand and strengthen me. Hold my hand lest I lose my way. Hold my hand and lead me home. Guide each step.
Well, us my old buddy Porter Wagner, and he's, I understand, is sick and in the hospital. Everybody pray for Porter that he recovers and that he continues to sing gospel music and continues to be our friend. All right, we have a few testimonials here. Where's the first one from?
From St. Charles, Missouri.
Okay, go ahead and read it, please.
Dear man of God, I see in Sunday's paper a full spread, Dry Bones, by Pastor Tony Lamo. I was shocked, to say the least. What would the Muslims, commies, and even Hitler think if they saw Dry Bones? This is politically incorrect.
According to them, yes. But politics, Moses was the politics in the days, and that's the way it's supposed to be in the New Testament, too. We're not supposed to have liars as our kings or rulers over us. We're not to have fornicators or those that commit oral sex as our leaders. We're not to have a woman to lead or to teach us. We're to have a godly man. And that hasn't happened for a long time. Now, President Bush claims to be a godly man. Clinton did, too. But both of them worshipped the Pope, or they paid it to him, said they'd do anything the Pope would tell them to do. And the Pope obviously told, is telling them to bomb places, and they did it. 50 countries, Clinton boasts, that he bombed for the Vatican. And also he was the one that gave the orders, along with his lesbian attorney general, to destroy the people at Waco. They called it a turkey shoot, according to ex-federal undercover man for the FBI and the BATF and the DEA, John Peeler. So, because of that, because John Peeler wouldn't assassinate me as the government wanted him to do, they threw John Peeler's son for no reason at all into prison without any proof at all. And I'd really like to get our attorney, Eric Lieberman, on that case to find out if there's anything that he could do about it to get that young man out of prison. There's so many people in prison. You know who ought to be in prison is Clinton. And the Pope ought to be buried in prison for the rest of his life, all of them, because they're the Antichrist. But they'll be in the prison, the eternal prison, where it's hot forever. Hot, people don't even have the idea of what hot is in this world today, but they're going to find it out if they don't repent. All right, then what else did he say?
I thank God for Dry Bones by Tony Lamo. One great preacher I know of says America has passed the point of no return with God. I just wanted to thank you for Dry Bones. He's coming soon. Be watching. C.R. Glear from St. Charles, Missouri.
Yes, we're watching. Yeah, Dry Bones is my testimony piece of literature, and you can get a copy of it absolutely free of charge. Also a Messiah book, which tells you the 333 prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. It's a condensed version of the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. It's absolutely free, as well as a copy of this program, the CD or audio tape. The mail charges, the handling, and the postage is paid for also. Okay, you have another one?
Yes, from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch in Missouri.
Okay, yes.
Again, thank you, Pastor Lamo, for choosing to run in St. Louis. I just received my check on Friday for servicing your account in December, and I wanted to share a little of it back with your ministry. Best wishes for a great 2007, Deb from St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah, she's from the St. Louis newspaper, and she really loves the literature that God has given me. And do you have another one?
Yes, from Mexico. Receive very warm greetings in the love of Jesus Christ. I am hoping that the peace which he gives fills your life completely. I am addressing myself to you for the first time to manifest my admiration and respect for clearly and straightforwardly revealing the powerful message from God's Word. Some time ago, a friend gave me a piece of your literature entitled Earthquake. This message is extremely clear, and it's the truth. History tells us that in each event, everything Christ stated would happen is happening in its own time. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. As you well know, in my country, we live in a serious crisis of thieveries, kidnappings, crimes, delinquencies, idolatry, witchcraft, worshiping of, quote, saints, unquote, and spiritualism, among many other abominations and evil practices which exist here. It would result in a never-ending list of iniquity were I to list them all. I see this as a challenge to those of us who know God's great love and the love of His Son, Jesus Christ, our powerful Savior.
Right, love is the keeping of God's commandments. And if people don't keep His commandments, they do not have God's love. Love also is, the commandment is to arm yourself with the Word of God and be armored, fully armored with His Word, so that you can resist Satan, so that he can flee from you, so that you can be a soldier, a Christian soldier, in this war between God and Satan for the souls of men. And so, this is God's love, is that you rebuke the devil and that you resist him so that he'll flee from you. So many people are in trouble today with Satan because they never resist him. They think that they're to be like Jesus. In the respect that Jesus just kept his mouth shut was because he came to die. But not for us. He told us to die out with our own will and our own philosophies and our own sinful life, to die out from that and come unto him so that we can have, and that he says he'll give us rest, a Sabbath. Sabbath is 7 days a week, 365 days of the year. We're to walk in the Spirit of the Lord. We must be born again of the Spirit. You must be walking in His Spirit. Good conduct is not enough. The Bible says it's the same as our good conduct, or the good deeds that we do are the same as filthy rags. That's in Isaiah 64, chapter 64. Verse 6, your good deeds are like filthy rags, or a menstruous cloth, a filthy thing. If you're not born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to be born again in the Spirit. You must be walking in the Spirit. You must have Christ's life. You must have the light, the Word of God. Not a religion, but the Word of God. There's a lot of difference between religion and salvation. Religion really is of the devil because it doesn't give you eternal life. So you must have the light, the life, which is the Word of God. You must let Christ do the walking in you. The people know how to be Christ-like, but they don't seem to know how to take Christ as their lives. I certainly know in my 42 years in the Lord, in the body of Christ, how to let God preach through me, to me and through me, to preach the gospel to the evil people of this world, and also to those that are born again. We're all evil if we don't have the Spirit of God living in us. And if we don't walk in the Spirit on a daily basis, evil will creep in and we'll be backslidden. And woe, that's what this message of the 10 virgins is that five of them kept the Spirit in their bodies, the lamp, the oil in the lamp, and the others did not. There's five that kept the oil in their lamp, which is the Holy Spirit flowing through them on a daily basis, one day at a time, and the others just let the oil run out. Well, when the Lord came, the other five, the five that didn't keep the oil of the Lord in them, perished. They wanted to get oil from the ones that kept the oil, or the Holy Spirit running through them, But they said, no, no, you have to go and get it for yourself. It'll be too late when the Lord comes if you don't have the Spirit of the Lord in you. So I like to preach to the evil people of this world and those that say, well, I was out of the Spirit that day. That's an evil person right there. If you just go one-on-one to preach the gospel to an evil person, but it's very hard to preach the true gospel to these people that are the goody-goody two-shoes. It's easy to preach the gospel to evil people because they just listen. They don't know the gospel, and therefore they don't all really argue with you. They may have heard something that they'll argue back with you, but the good person, the ones that think they're good, the good people, down through the years, I've learned that I had to be careful and patient when I attempt to preach the gospel to a, quote, good person, one that just knows it all, and they just feel that they're right, they're self-righteous in the Lord. They don't really think it's necessary to walk in the Spirit on a daily basis. They just think they're nice because it's them. So you could preach to those kind of people that are living in the Garden of Eden. There were contrasting trees there. Both of them were in the good and proper Garden of Eden, but one was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the contrast, a tree there, that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the tree of that was good was the tree of life, which is symbolic of Jesus. Good is not life. Being good is not life. It's like filthy rags. You must be in the Holy Spirit. So good is not life, just as evil is not life. Some people are good almost all the time, but you get them out on the streets and you can see their eyes just roving around. Well, we never went to bed with anybody, but you see their eyes lusting after different people. And then there are others that go down the street and they don't look at anybody, really. They don't even think about taking a piece of literature out that's from the Lord to possibly that if they read it would win their souls. They don't care anything about human souls. The ones that are lusting surely are not conscious or have any desire to win souls. They just lust. There's nothing in them of the Lord. And those that give presents, but yet they don't do anything for the Lord, they're not of the Lord. They're not born again of the Spirit. Only Christ himself is life. God does not want us to be good or evil. God wants us, you and I, all of us in the world, to have Christ, to take Christ as our life. When Christ is in us, he knows the things that the living God wants us to do. And what he wants us to do and will do in us and through us is the only good. Only God is good. So anything that you make up in your mind that you think to be good enough to get you into the kingdom of heaven is filth. So if you're letting God live in you and you let him, you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, then God will do the right thing in and through you. So we have to put away, or put aside our old natural life, the things that we think are right and wrong, and the things that we think that we'll be able to buy our way into the kingdom of heaven, like lighting a candle after you murder somebody or saying a few Hail Marys or to do your rosary beads and all that stuff. That doesn't mean anything. That won't take away sin. Only the blood of Jesus takes away all your former sins and the sins that you make that are sins that you didn't know were sins. So we have to get rid of that natural life and take Christ as our life. John, the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 18, states, the Lord Jesus Christ is challenging, it doesn't say it's challenging Peter here, after taking breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, quote, Simon, son of John, you love me more than these? Quote, yes, Lord, Peter replied. Quote, you know I love you, unquote. Jesus then said, quote, then feed my lambs, unquote. And if you love the Lord, you feed the lambs of God. Do you witness and testify to him? No. You're busy about your own thing because you think you're already wonderful. You don't pay any attention to the Holy Spirit of God to feed the lambs of God. And therefore, you don't even care about sending, whether you're robbing God or not. It doesn't mean anything to you now. But these are commandments from the Lord, and you're going to pay attention to that. When you stand before the judgment bar of God and you find out how much you failed and how much you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Then Jesus told him again. Jesus repeated the question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Unquote. Yes, Lord, unquote, Peter said. Quote, you know I love you, unquote. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. Once more he asked him, quote, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Unquote. You think I'm supposed to say Jonah? No, it's John. Peter was grieved that Jesus asked the question. The third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Unquote. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Unquote. There's millions of Christians that have never, or some people that say they're Christians that have never fed the sheep, that have never kept these three commandments, the triple commandments, to take care of the people of God. The truth is, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You go wherever you wanted to, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, Jesus said. And others will direct you and take you where you don't want to go, unquote, John 21, verses 15 through 18. So verses 15 through 17 state that Peter had denied Jesus three times, so Jesus allowed Peter to declare his love for him three times. But in so doing, he was telling Peter and every one of you out in the world, and supposedly in the churches everywhere in the world, if you love the Lord, then you must not hate your brothers and sisters. You brothers must teach the brothers. The Lord has commissioned me to do it because you didn't do it. That's why I'm on the air today, is because I told the Lord, Lord, the brothers in the church and the sisters are not teaching one another. In my church, I'm talking about. And so he says, well, if we didn't have any finances, he said, well, you do it. So you people in this church, you're not doing it at all. One soul has fallen after the other. This is a belated message. Now some of them are starting to do it. We do have a few, very small amount of people in the church that are doing that. They think that they're supposed to be in the body of Christ for some other reason. Reasons that they make up in their own inferior minds. Only God has a superior mind. Very few Christians stay in the church, stay in the Lord. The building of God, the church, is not... the church building is not the Lord. The Lord is supposed to be in you, and you are supposed to be in the Lord. And if you were, then you would do what he said, because he would let him do, feed the sheep. Because he became the spirit, the life-giving spirit that's supposed to be living in you. And if you don't communicate one to another, then you are not a Christian. You're still walking in darkness because you don't love the Lord. You don't walk in the Lord. You don't communicate. Each time Jesus affirmed his confidence in Peter by commissioning him to feed his, Jesus' flock, everyone is commissioned to communicate. And if you won't, if you absolutely deny this, Christ has no confidence in you because you're not taking the commission that the Lord wants you to take, like Peter fulfilled his commission. Are you? Peter fulfilled it when he was filled with the mighty power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. He became a key leader because he was converted then. One of the, and when the Lord blew his breath into him, one of the keys in the early church, Peter became one of the keys in the early church. You may have replaced the gospel for something else. In other words, you relapsed from the gospel. You failed in the past. But it's really late in the day now. We're at the time when the Lord's coming back to earth again. You need not to teach people the wrong thing. False doctrine, you'll go to hell for teaching false doctrine. Or it's saying these things are not important. There's been many teachings in the church that are wrong and continue to be wrong. So you're not to teach. Those of you that are novices, you can certainly read the Bible though with brothers and sisters. New ones, new baby Christians that have come into the church, and you need to treat them as you would if you were talking and dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You're not going to relapse in this matter again, are you? You're not going to fail any longer, are you? When you open your heart to God, he can and will restore you. In other words, forgive you, wash you for your sin, of if it was ignorance. But if it's not ignorance, then I don't know about you. If you did it in ignorance, but you're not ignorant, most of you, because I've told you these things on many occasions. It didn't even affect you when I told you that I took the position the Lord commissioned me to feed the brothers and sisters. That's why I'm on the radio programs now. This is not only the brothers and sisters in our church, but all those in radio land. And I've done that right before your very eyes. I took the commission. I'm a follower. And if you're not a follower, you'll never be a leader. I believe myself to be Pretty good follower. It seems that many people have a conscience that is seared with a hot iron. Some of you have no conscience at all. You don't have any conscience any longer. So if you're relapsed, then repent, because the Lord will restore you if it was in ignorance, even to the point where your life becomes a model citizen in the Lord for everyone to see. And that's what the Lord wants, is that everyone can see Him in you. All right, now then, you have another testimonial?
I was in the middle of the last one.
Okay, you were in the middle. Well, I got caught up in the Spirit.
Amen.
Sort of like John, huh? Okay, yeah. Then go ahead.
Jesus Christ transformed me. In addressing myself to you for the first time, it is to solicit from you your materials to realize the vast work of evangelism, which is the Great Commission. The literature, books, messages on cassette.
Yeah, it's not just talk, though, evangelism. They just think, blah, 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 and maybe think this is what Jesus said and all that. But it's doing, feeding the sheep, all right?
Amen.
Do you think that if you had a flock of sheep out in your backyard or a horse or a couple of horses, and you said, yes, you have to feed the sheep, and then you didn't go out and feed them, they'd die, wouldn't they?
Yes.
Okay, so you have to do the work, all right? Thanks for the work, Lord. I really do appreciate it. And I know you appreciate me because I'm doing what you said. That's how I can tell that I'm saved, is because we keep His commandments. Oh, I keep your commandments, Lord. And therefore, the flow of finances started coming into the church when I started doing what you said. People are broke because they never care about anybody else. And so the Lord lets, provides. He makes he fashions a situation for you out in the world to where you're chastened by the Holy Spirit. He'll make things rough and tough for you. That's what's happening to the church. One of the our church is that there is like adversity because the people don't care. And so God is going to make some of you people pay. All right, we'll finish this testimony.
The literature, books, messages on cassette, and videos are considered to be valuable and effective tools for the work you and I are doing. Send what you can send without it being an inconvenience to you. Finally, I hope that our good God will guide you in my requests and confirm it and strengthen you as well. Having no other matter at hand, I thank you sincerely for your attention to this request. Attentively, Ezekiel from Esatepec de Morelos, Mexico.
All right. You know how to have God's life living in you. In other words, the way to take Christ as your life. You have to actually take Him and make Him your life. You have to discipline yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, He'll do outward. You have to do that inwardly. Otherwise, He'll create an environment outwardly and discipline you outwardly. He'll take you maybe to your finances. He'll take your health. He'll take one of your loved ones. There's all kinds of ways. The Lord tailor makes it. He knows what'll get you. And He does it in hopes that you'll get saved. There's people that He takes out of the way because they just believe in doing whatever they want, saying whatever they want, and living the kind of life they want, and flaunting it on television before everybody. Then all of a sudden, somebody could be age 39 years old, and the Lord just takes them out, and everybody's just shocked. Why would God take somebody like this out? It's because maybe they were living a life that was whorish. And you people of the world are just disturbed because you don't believe that God would do something like that. That must have been Mother Nature, or she must have committed suicide. The Lord doesn't have to wait till you commit suicide. He can just pull the breath out of your nose any time. I found that out in the office when the Lord first began dealing with me and began showing me that He means business. He's not somebody that fools around. He actually pulled the breath in and out of me back and forth to show me that He can do that at any time. And so be aware. Now, we have a few words from Adolf Hitler. Now, the Lord wants you to hear this because you're in the same situation. He was not that you murdered millions of people like he did. But the one thing that he was right in was that he didn't want the UN to have anything to do with Germany because it wasted Germany. So start reading some of that, will you?
Everyone had an idea of some sort, and I, as an unknown soldier of the World War, drew my conclusions. It was a very short and simple program. It ran, removal of the internal enemies of the nation.
Okay, removal of the internal enemies of the nation. Because they're just like in this country. We have to remove the internal enemies of this country. These are Vaticanites that are in the White House, that are governors and judges. We have to remove them. These are the internal enemies. I'm a patriotic person. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy when it comes to the United States of America. I wasn't born on the 4th of July, but I've got a son that was born on the 27th of July. So that's close enough. We have to get rid of these enemies that are burning our churches, that are destroying the World Trade Center and innocent people in there. Maybe not innocent before the Lord, but they didn't deserve to die just because the Vatican wanted to create a war and make us angry enough to go to war against a nation that really didn't have weapons of mass destruction. What they did at Waco, what they did over at the building, federal building. So keep going with this, because I'd like to get a little bit of that Timothy McVeigh. I'd like to finish up on that.
Termination of the divisions within Germany.
Okay, terminations of the divisions that were in Germany. Okay, the first one again was what? Get rid of all the enemies.
Removal of the internal enemies of the nation.
Yeah, that was to get rid of all the Vaticanites out of there, but he thought they were Jews. And then to get rid of who? Then the next thing?
Termination of the divisions within Germany.
Okay, the divisions that were in Germany, he had to terminate them. The Vatican told him that it was the Jews that were the enemies and that were clandestine and were going to put them down the drain. They knew that Hitler was so gung-ho about just keeping Germany, building Germany up, that it was easy to tell him that the Jews. And then you've got people like, I hear Tex Mars, who used to be all right, I hear he's anti-Semitic now. All those of you that are anti-Semitic, you're anti-Christ, because God is a Jew. And you have to kneel down before that Jew before you ever can get into the kingdom of heaven. And the Jews are God's favorite people, chosen people. And he's restored them to their homeland, and they're fulfilling Bible prophecy. And there's nothing that you can do about it but harass them and persecute them, but still they're God's chosen people. And you'll never change that, so you might as well throw in the towel. Okay, and then what else?
The gathering up of the entire national strength of our people into a new community.
Right. In other words, he's saying, let's gather together. The Germans said, that's what we should do. The United States is get all these internal enemies out in there, Vaticanites and Avram Manhattan and Abraham Lincoln and so many different thousands of people who said, don't let them come into the United States because they're like termites. They bore themselves into every fiber of America. America's government. They have all sorts of different clandestine secret groups, and they're nothing but rotten apples among the good. Then what?
And the breaking of the peace treaty in one way or another.
Okay, keep going.
For as long as this dictate of Versailles weighed upon the German people, it was actually damned to go to the ground. If, however, other statesmen now declare that right must rule on this earth, then they should be told that their crime is no right.
Yeah, the crime of the Vatican is there's no right to it at all. Then what else?
That their dictate is neither right nor law, but above this dictate stand the eternal rights of peoples to live.
Yeah, so people should have the right to live. There's nobody just in, because they love the power that the Vatican gives them, has the right to bomb people that have a right to live, little children and their mothers and their dads over there at Waco and in all the countries, and the people at the World Trade Center, and the people over at the, but you people, you know, at the federal bill, but you people forget, and like you just don't know how to take hold on to it, and that's why I'm teaching you. Okay, then what?
The German people were not created by Providence in order to follow obediently a law which suits the English or the French.
Right. He's saying that the German people were not created by Providence of God to follow the dictates of the United Nations. And we're not either. We're the United States. We're Providence here to keep America, to be Americans, not to be Romans or Roman canon law. So can't you see that this is the stuff that Hitler was concerned about? But then he was lied to by the Vatican, who told them that it was the Jews. And people all over the country are still saying the same thing, that it's the Jews. The German people believed it, and now you people do because of the propaganda from the Vatican's news media and from the government. You know, what's a Jew, Tony? Some of the rednecks out in Arkansas asked me. I said, a Jew is God. God is the Jew, and you have to kneel down before him and accept him into your heart. And let me tell you something. God said he'll bless those that bless the Jew, and he'll curse them that curse the Jew. And so you better not be cursing a Jew, mm-hmm. any Jew, right or wrong. Because if they're wrong, you're supposed to preach the gospel to them. If blacks are wrong, you're supposed to preach the gospel to them. If people in the Catholic Church, if you want to call it a church, are wrong, you're supposed to preach the gospel to them. You're not to kill anybody. If Bush is wrong, you're supposed to preach the gospel to him. If the hierarchy in the Vatican are wrong, you're supposed to preach the gospel to him. You're not to kill anybody. Everybody has a right to life. Amen?
Amen.
Unless they're lawless. And the lawless are let free, and the Christians, the people that are right, are not. Okay, that's all we have for Hitler today. Okay, so I see my time is up. And you have a right to life, and everybody in the world, God has given the right for eternal life if you want to accept it. But you have to accept eternal life. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to be good. No, there's no such thing as good the way you say. God doesn't believe the things that you do is good enough to get into the kingdom of heaven if you are not receiving his only begotten son that came here and was crucified for you. If you deny him, the Father will deny you. So don't deny him. Ask him to come into your heart now by saying this prayer. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise and pray your hands and praise and thank the Lord. If you're driving, pull over somewhere, or if you're doing something, just wait a few seconds until it's over with, and then start praising and thanking the Lord. And get into the King James Version of the Bible, read it, get yourself baptized, and get filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well. All these are essential. Baptism is fully submerged in water. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not Jesus only, but in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, now share and tell them four different ways that you receive a copy of this audio tape or CD absolutely free.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, how long has it been since you prayed to the Lord? And here, This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. If I don't get to say anything more on the tape, make sure that you listen to the next tape, because it's going to be a strong one. I was only praying and hoping to do it on this tape here. How long has it been with J.D. Sumner, the Stamps, and myself? Praise the Lord.
How long has it been since you knew?